In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters, today is Holy Trinity Sunday. And so with that very simple invocation and sacred sign that expresses our faith, we have just given praise to Almighty God, revealed to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we ponder this beautiful mystery. We believe in this God who in His love has revealed this to us. Now, pause for one moment. In making that sign of the cross, which probably all of us remember to our earliest days, we must always do so with reverence. It could easily become something routine, almost something nonchalant, even something careless. But rather, it's a profound expression of our faith. In the very early church, it was actually an identifying sign of our Christian belief. And so they would even hold their hands in a certain way, so three fingers up and the two fingers down, and the three fingers would be for Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one true God. And then the two bottom fingers, in honor of Christ, true God, who became true man, His divine and human natures. Even in the Eastern churches, somewhat even seen today, the three fingers will even be joined together. You'll see people make the sign of the cross and then kiss these three fingers. And that is special too, because the pointy finger, the index finger, represents the Greek letter iota, like our letter I, which stands for Jesus Christ. And then the middle finger crosses over the thumb to make a chi, like RX, for Christ, Christos. And then the middle finger, and you have to be careful of that one, is bent a little bit to represent the lowercase sigma, like RS, that stands for soter. So Jesus Christ, Savior. So my brothers and sisters, in that very simple expression, we profess a faith and a very profound mystery. Now, the mystery of the Trinity is such that it is the basis of all that we believe. Our catechism teaches, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian faith and life. It is the mystery of God in Himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truth of faith. Notice how oftentimes the word mystery is used. It's used because we couldn't know the Trinity on our own. We can't just reason this out. Now, this doesn't make the Trinity unreasonable. Rather, God has revealed this to us. And so, as St. Paul says, we respond in faith. So this revelation actually is implicitly made known back in the Old Testament. In our book of Proverbs, our passage from the first reading, we hear of creation and how God, in His wisdom, created. Well, go to Genesis. God, at the beginning, so whenever God started to create, so at the beginning of creation, speaks His word, this capital W word, saying, "Let there be light." And creation begins to unfold. It unfolds in a very orderly, systematic, beautiful way. It has design and purpose. There also is the phrase that the Spirit of God hovered over this creation, breathing life into us, into it. And so we have the God the Father creating through His Word, again, capital W Word, wisdom, capital W wisdom, and then breathing life through the Spirit. Well, the Word, the wisdom, is Christ, the Son. This is why in the Creed we even state we believe in Christ, through whom all things were made. And the Spirit, of course, we profess the Lord and the giver of life. So, God the Father, the Word, the Spirit. As we go through the Old Testament, especially reading about Moses and the prophets, we hear so often about the Word of God being made known, the Spirit of God coming upon them. Well, this all comes to fruition in the New Testament. So in the New Testament, when we look at the Gospels, we find that God so loved us, He gave us His Son. So Mary, at the announcement of the Archangel Gabriel, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Christ, true God, entered this world becoming also true man. St. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, Word, "the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring love and truth." The Word became flesh. Of course, at the baptism scene of our Lord, as He begins His public ministry, again, the Trinity is made manifest. There's Jesus standing in the River Jordan, and then the Spirit comes down in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is My beloved Son, listen to Him." At the Transfiguration, Jesus appears in glory. This cloud descends, again, of Old Testament manifestation of the Holy Spirit, just like on Mount Sinai. And the voice of the Father is heard saying, "This is My beloved Son, listen to Him." In our Gospel passage today, taken from the Last Supper discourse, Jesus, from chapters 13 through 17 of John's Gospel, speaks to His Father, refers to His Father, speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Advocate, the Paraclete, but three distinct persons, one God. A revelation. So how do we try to put it all together? Well, we start with God. God is perfect, eternal, infinite. God's knowledge is all-knowing, so He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. But the beautiful, most beautiful expression is God is love. That's what St. John writes. God is love. So love is always life-giving. Love always seeks to express itself. So the Father, God the Father, from all time, eternity, so from eternity, in His love, this perfect, infinite love, expresses Himself in the Word, the Son. He doesn't create the Son. We say He begets the Son. The Word is the perfect expression of the Father. The Word perfectly reflects the Father. This is why even in the Gospel scene of the Last Supper, as we heard, Jesus says, "Everything that has been given to Me has been given by the Father. Everything I have is from the Father, and everything I have, the Father has." So this perfect expression of the love of God. It's like that love is just given to each other. They breathe the same kind of breath. Because of that, this love proceeds. This breath spirates, and there's the Holy Spirit, the love of God, the breath of God. Remember last Sunday in our Pentecost celebration, the Gospel was actually taken from the night of the resurrection. And there Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appeared and breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then at Pentecost, Father and Son like breathed down upon the apostles the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is this love, this breath of God. So, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, bound together in this love, this life. For this reason, if we had to summarize it, we would just go to the simple catechism and say we believe in one God, Three divine persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all are distinct, all are eternal, all are equal, all share the same Godhead or divine nature. They're all equally God. We do give them jobs to do, like we refer to the Father as the Creator, the Son as the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit as the Sanctifier, but they really always act as one God, in unison. So even when we think of our Lord coming into this world, the Father sends the Son, Mary conceives by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, true God, becomes true man. Always one action of the Holy Trinity. Well, we could go on and on, perhaps, and spend volumes, read from saints, and so on. But I don't know if we would get much further. So we're left with a mystery. And actually, the word mystery comes from the Greek word mouein, which means time to shut your mouth. So it's time to shut up about this, in a way, and to ponder and to reflect. And that's the real beauty of this Sunday's feast day, to not try to figure all this out, but to respond in faith and to put it into action. There's the key. We're called then to live that like love of the Trinity, faithful, self-giving love. Specifically, we're called to live like Christ, true God who became true man, that Word who became flesh, that full expression of God's will to us. So that's how we're called to live. And you and I have to think then, how well do we do it? To really live in this love means we do have to take time for prayer, to be in communion with God. We need our sacraments. This governs our whole liturgical, spiritual life. If we really want to know the Trinity in the sense of a friendship, then we have to fall in love. We have to give of ourselves, to worship. Even that simple sign of the cross with which we began is a beautiful prayer that invokes the Trinity. At this Mass, listen to how many times the Holy Trinity is invoked, including in the Eucharistic prayer. But we plunge ourselves into this mystery, and we look into our lives, asking, do I live with that same kind of faithful, permanent, self-giving, life-giving love? But then that's going to overflow in how we approach our neighbor. Because remember, Jesus said, love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, but love your neighbor as yourself. So the love of the Trinity, our belief, is going to govern how we're dealing with our neighbor. So for good reason then, as Catholics, when we look upon our neighbors, because of our belief in the Trinity, we respect each person as a unique individual, someone made in God's image and likeness. Each person has dignity. Whether that person is someone of very great importance or the poorest of the poor, the most disabled, most marginalized, most vulnerable, we care about that person. This is why, as Catholics, we truly believe life is sacred. Life is a gift from God. Each person is a gift from God, from that moment of conception to the moment of natural death. Because of the Trinity, we try to do our best to build up this world, because we're a communion of people. Like the Trinity is a communion of persons, three persons, one God, we're a community. So this is why our church has always had that social concern for those who are poor, marginalized, and so on. They have value. It's giving love. It's that life-giving love. And then it applies even to that basic community we know as a marriage and a family. In marriage, a man and a woman come together, two distinct persons, but they become one. They complete the image and likeness of God. They form this life-giving, self-giving union with God. And with God, that love may overflow, proceed from them in the creation of children. This is why we defend marriage. It's because we believe in the love of the Trinity. We defend marriage because that love between husband and wife, then that love as mom and dad, overflows into the family, This is why we defend it. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you on this solemnity of the Trinity to take time to ponder the central fundamental mystery of our faith. Yes, we say that simple prayer, we make that simple sign we call the sign of the cross. But again, it marks our life. It's all about who we are. For when we began our spiritual life with God, we were baptized in the name, not names, in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're called then to live in that love. May God bless you.